fear is one of the most destructive things that we can allow ourselves to experience. This is Dr. Herbert O'Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the thought for today. Fear is one of the most destructive things that we can allow ourselves to experience. How often have we felt fear? And when we felt fear, we felt a total amount of lack of control. We felt that we were unable to do the things that we want to do. Fear keeps us from using our mind. It keeps us from using our intelligence. It keeps us from using our emotional balance. Every time we allow fear into our life, we are allowing a devil to come into our consciousness. Now, people say, oh, there's no devil. Fear certainly is a devil, if we're going to describe a devil as something that is contrary to our highest good. Is it contrary to our highest good? Oh my, yes. And why is fear contrary to our highest good? You see, when a dog is afraid and he knows that there's nothing he can do, he has fear all over him. And so what does he do? He stops dead in his tracks, lays down, and pretends that he's dead, right in the middle of the path. He doesn't try to get off the path or get anywhere. He just stops dead in his tracks and pretends he's dead. Well, the fearful animal that's chasing him or trying to catch him looks at that dead thing and goes on and doesn't even stop to kick it around or play with it. Because the saying goes, you don't kick a dead horse or an idiot. Well, the same thing. When fear stops exuding from the body, the excitement of the chase is no longer there. Because this is how animals find their prey. Their prey are fearful, and they are exuding this fear sensitivity from their body, this fear odors. Armies that go into battle, we are doing this for righteousness and justice, no fear. And then the other side says, we are doing this for righteousness and justice. And the two sides are both going in with God on their side, you know, protecting them. And so what happens? Oh, a few people are hurt, but basically then nothing happens. There's no win, no lose, just no draw even. It's just no fun. It's no fun to fight a battle. Come on, get up and fight. Get up and fight. Why don't you kick them? Why don't you stomp on them? Why don't you shoot them? But get up and fight, don't you? Get up and fight. They want you to enter into it. Because it's no fun to fight something that has no fear, fight something that has no cooperation. And so, you're no fun, you know. Who wants to play a game with a loser, you know? Who wants to play poker with a loser? You're playing poker with a couple of guys who are playing poker card game to win, and I pass. And they get out of the game. And they get out of the game because they no longer have any desire to fight, no longer any desire to be creative and imaginative. What's the difference between a genius and an ordinary person? A genius says, it can be done. An ordinary person says, I'm going to ask somebody. A genius says, I think I have an idea here. Yep, I'm not going to tell anybody about it until I work on it. And then he goes and works on it. And we have an idiot genius in our present today, and that's Daniel. And Daniel, I say to him, Daniel, have you read the manual? He said, no. I said, why not? He said, because I know it. I said, you know the manual and you haven't even read it? He said, of course. He says, I just pick up this material, I pick up this object, and I know that its mechanism works this way, and I know that this is how it's supposed to function, and these are the things that are supposed to work, and then I just do it. Well, now, we call it an idiot genius because he doesn't use the manual. But he uses another manual. He uses the manual in himself, which is a manual we all have, but we are afraid to use because we have been taught that you should follow instructions. Follow instructions. You know? If you follow instructions, you're liable to get in trouble. You know, in the early shows, the Robin Hood shows and so forth, they're always showing how following instructions gets you in trouble. and they're going through the woods, and the bad guys are turning the arrow saying, town this way instead of that way. And this way leads to a very rugged path where the bandits can go and get the people and get their money and stuff. And the other way leads to town and safety. And they know the other way is a well-traveled way, but the sign says this way, so they go the way the sign says, you know? They don't follow their gut. They don't follow their feeling. They let the fear of having to follow other people's signs and other people's ways. Mm. Who knew the best way to get to town in the beginning? The people who followed their gut. Who had the most difficulty getting to town? The people who followed other people's advice. Fear is a very terrible thing for all of us, and we all experience it. We took our dogs out to be rattlesnake trained, and so as we took them to this place, we didn't know what they were going to do, but they had rattlesnakes under barrels and under buckets and stuff, and then they had young boys lifting the buckets when the dogs were brought near it, so that the dogs could sense the rattlesnake and be fearful of the rattlesnakes and stay away from them. It wasn't a matter of what to do with them, but stay away from them. And so if you smell them anywhere in the near, you stay away from them. And so little Love, our little miniature pincher, he went out there with on the leash with the trainer, and the trainer took him near, and he flew around on the edge of his leash. He leaped up into the air, and he was ready to go back to his mommy. I don't want anything to do with that. And Button, our little miniature schnauzer, he went in there, and he was an aggressive character, and he was going to smell them out, but the minute he smelled that odor, who was he ready to leave the country? And Rex, our golden retriever, he was a young pup at the time, just maybe about 6 months old or something, and he was just a young guy. And he came in there playful and friendly and loving. Nothing in the world is his enemy, you know. And he smelled it. He said, what is that? Let me get a little closer and see what it's all about. And they had to train him, no, 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 you know. And they had to bang sticks together and say, no, that's a no-no. His little puppy, he says everything's a yes, yes. But he got the lesson. And then they said to us, you have to repeat it every year or two to remind them of that. Well, we live in country where many creatures live, and we teach our pets to be loving of all things. And the biggest thing that we teach our pet is to mind their own business, to pay attention to things that are their own business. Now, when I take Rex out for a walk, he's now a four-year-old golden retriever, and he looks and he sees a rabbit, maybe about 20 yards ahead. And I say, Rex, consider that rabbit. It's a nice chase, but it's just going to be a chase, because he's got a lead on you. Now, if he's close by, if you're a good stealthful hunter, that's another thing. But if you're going to go after that rabbit, it's just going to be a fun chase. And now you do what you want to do. So most of the time he just ignores it and goes along with me. But when he's closer than 20 yards, when he knows that there's a chance that he can catch up with that little creature and really have a wonderful chase, he's on his way. But he also knows when to stop. He has no fear. I take my hand and I slam it down on top of his head, not touching him. And he knows I would never touch him. He knows that I would never hurt. He has no fear. I take him and I kick at him and I say, you stupid dog. He looks at me, wags his tail. Dad, what game are you playing now? You know, he has no fear. And of course, I don't mean that, but I do that because I want to see if he can be free of fear. And if anyone comes to him and tries to be aggressive, and no one will, because he has not a fearful bone. He does not attract those sort of things in his world. And we don't want to attract those sort of things in our world. We want to attract only harmonious, joyful things. Now, if you have smelly clothes on, don't worry about them. If you have clothes that you wore when you were very frightened, wash them. Clean your environment. But if you have just ordinary clothes, it's just like the men who worked up in Alaska, the Alaskans, and they had their families with them. And how often could they take a bath? Remember in the 1920s when you took a bath on Saturday night? So that you be clean for church on Sunday, you know, before you go to meet God and your pastor, you know. And everybody, and then, remember how the bath was? Who took a bath first?
Papa, Mama.
Mama.
And then the
older, down to the young. So here's the baby getting in that stinky bath water that his mama, dad, brothers and sisters all had. And he says, Jesus is so nice. I get this nice, wonderful, special water that everybody's been in, you know. And you see, now that's love. That's love. And when you realize that, instead of, you say, yuck, you know, and you're shower-ridden purity, you say, yuck, be the last one in the bathtub. Well, in those days, it was an honor. And as I say, living in the North Woods, Mama and Daddy got to bed together in bed. They had their relationship and had their different things. They washed each other off a little bit, you know, but they didn't take a bath. I mean, they couldn't. They didn't have any. They had a bucket of water. And so life was not that way. So, you see, our body odor is who we are. And if your body odor is an odor of love, is an odor of self-confidence, an odor of self-well-being, wherever you go, you will be accepted. You will not be disliked or diswanted. Diswanted, how about that? Unwanted. So if you are ever doing that and people shy from you, stop and think, were you fearful at any time before, since your last shower? Were you angry and upset with life since your last shower? Were you tell the world over and all, get so intense inside of you, all your jellies and all your gushes come right out to the surface there. And you stink. Even though you do not have a body odor, you have a mental odor, you have a spiritual odor, you have an intensive thing about you. So, and what is that intensive thing called? Fear. That intensive thing is called fear, and you never really know it's there because you're living with it. So, if we will live in unconditional love, fear will have no part in our life, and we never need to take a bath. We might take a physical bath, but we never need to take a spiritual bath because we live in love. And what a beautiful thing. And I imagine if all of us could live in unconditional love, in spiritual love, we would never even need to take a bath. Seriously. We would always have very perfect odors on our bodies, very perfect odors of our clothing. What do you say of a new car, Daniel? It has
new car scent.
A new car smell. It's a new car smell. And you know, you can buy that in a bottle. Yes. You go into the car dealers and buy a new car smell fragrance and you spray it in your car. Have you ever bought a new car?
Oh, yeah.
And did it have a new car smell?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. It's something very unique and special about it. The manufacturers have created that. I don't know what it is, but you can buy it. So, now, I recommend that each one of us go into our inner store and buy the love fragrance, the gentleness fragrance, the purity fragrance, and pass up the counter that has the fear fragrance, because you don't need that. Fear invites fear. Love invites love. So, with this little bit of gentle wisdom from me, wish me well as I go shopping. And I see each one of you shopping for the fragrance of love and beauty and joy, abundance, health, happiness, and a visit from Herb in your life. I love you. I love you.
Love you.
I love you.
You.